We pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the gift of your very life for us, your willingness to fulfill the Father's plan. Holy Spirit, we thank you for bringing the reality of Christ's death and resurrection to our lives personally, through baptism and through the gospel. You bring us and you wrap us in that eternal love, a love which removes guilt and forgives sin, a love which prepares us to one day enter into your presence in eternity. Lord, may your Spirit work in our lives and in our hearts and in our minds this day through your word. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So as we've mentioned, this morning we celebrate, or the whole church celebrates, Trinity Sunday, which is indeed a great mystery. People have tried to find examples which have never done justice to the Trinity, and we finally just need to admit that, you know what, there are things that we cannot figure out completely, and the Trinity is one of those things. We can know a little, people have written a lot, but we always have to go to how God acts, how he reveals himself to us. And we have to go to those places if we're going to draw conclusions about the Trinity. So this morning we go with Isaiah. Now, if you remember the temple had the Holy of Holies in it, and inside of the Holy of Holies was the Ark of the Covenant, and on each side of the Ark sat a seraphim as they both glanced and looked toward the center of the Ark of the Covenant. And it was that very center where God's presence dwelt. And the high priest would only go into that space once a year, and he would do it to make atonement on behalf of the whole people. Which now brings us to Isaiah's calling. This call narrative is a phenomenal narrative because Isaiah gets to enter into the Holy of Holies, which is in heaven. Remember, the temple is a pattern of that which is in heaven. And so as Isaiah goes into that heavenly realm, it looks and it appears very much like the Holy of Holies in the temple, though not many ever get to see that space. So Isaiah goes into the Holy of Holies, and you can imagine how terrifying and frightening this sight is for Isaiah. There at the center on the throne, he sees the Lord, the King of Kings. And the scripture tells us that his trail, the train of his robe, fills the entire space of this temple, signifying God's imminence and power and splendor. Then Isaiah gets to behold with his own eyes the seraphim that are flying and are looking at the one, the Trinity God, who sits on the throne. And imagine how freaky this is. Freaky is a big theological term. These seraphim have six wings. With two, they cover their face. With two, they cover their feet. And with two, they fly. And, as we will see shortly, they also have hands. And so Isaiah beholds this sight and hears the seraphim singing to the thrice holy God. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory, just as the temple is filled with the train of his robe. And if that weren't sensory overload enough for Isaiah, It says that when God speaks, the thresholds in the temple shook and smoke filled the room. That's a pretty terrifying, not your ordinary day kind of sight that Isaiah gets. He's exposed to the holiness and might of God, and it has an effect on him. The same kind of effect it would have on any of us if we were brought into that holy space. The effect is this: I have absolutely no grounds and no right, no worthiness and merit to stand before a thrice holy God. I'm a sinner who sins. This is the conclusion Isaiah comes to when he says, "Woe is me, for I am lost. I am a man of unclean lips, and I live among a people of unclean lips." That's the response that comes when you and I face the holiness of God with our unholiness. And it's the same sort of effect that when Jesus calls Peter, that Peter experiences. You know, they'd been fishing, not caught anything, and when Jesus calls him into service, he says, "Peter, cast the net back into the water," and he catches such a great amount of fish that Peter says, "Depart from me, Lord, I am a sinner." This is the effect of the holy God. Fear, trembling, quick to acknowledge sinfulness, quick to realize I am in a place that I don't deserve to be. Then we move into part two of this moment for Isaiah. One of the scary and frightening seraphim, with his hand and a tong, grabs a coal from the altar of the Lord, a burning coal. And he starts to move toward Isaiah. And what do you think's going through Isaiah's mind at this point? From dust we were created, to dust we will return. The Lord is going to wipe me out because of my sinfulness. At this point, Isaiah is only completely and in every sense familiar with the might and holiness of God, but Isaiah's sinful nature is surprised when the seraphim gets to him, touches his lip with a coal, and says, "Your guilt has been taken away. Your sin is forgiven." This God is not only revealed to Isaiah as mighty, but as merciful. One who doesn't delight to snuff sinners out, but moves and desires to show mercy, to take guilt away, to forgive the sins of sinners. This is how the Trinity reveals itself to Isaiah in this moment. And then the Lord speaks as a thunder, and he says, "Who will go for us? Whom shall we send?" Note, he doesn't start with Isaiah and, "Hey, Isaiah, do you think you're my guy? Do you think I can send you?" No, he asks the question, and in the response from Isaiah, you can see the difference of knowing that God isn't only holy and mighty, but he is also merciful. because Isaiah exclaims, "Here am I. Send me." From fear, repentance, and sorrow over sin, to touched literally by grace in his volunteering himself to go on the Lord's behalf. Who doesn't want to go on behalf of the God who is not only mighty, but who is also merciful? Isaiah will go indeed, and he will leave us some of the most marvelous images of prophecy relating to the one who would come, the one who would be called Emmanuel, the one who would be born in Bethlehem, the one who would suffer as he bears the sins of all mankind, the one who would be beaten so badly that he didn't even look human at the end of his suffering. Isaiah would speak of this one who agreed to go, the second person of the Trinity, the one who agreed to go for the Father and the Spirit, that he might provide an atoning sacrifice for the sins of all people. In the call of Isaiah, brothers and sisters, we see that God never calls the sinless, because there is only one ever to be born in the world sinless after Adam and Eve, and that is the person of Jesus Christ. And he's the one who comes so that you and I might receive mercy, so that we might have our guilt taken away. Brothers and sisters, when you come into this place, you and I will bring guilt from the sins that we've committed. But the Lord's desire is not for you to walk out of this place with that guilt still hung around your neck. He doesn't come to you with a hot and burning coal with a creepy six-winged angel. He comes to you gently and subtly in his own body and blood, in the bread and the wine, and he brings it to your mouth, just as the coal touched Isaiah, and he says to you, "Your guilt is removed and your sins are forgiven." This is how the Trinity desires to reveal itself to you. Holy, mighty, and merciful. Today, let us on this great Trinity Sunday cling to and celebrate in the mercy of God for us. We pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we know indeed that you are a God that does not look past sin, but you are a God who deals with sin. All of our sins, in particular in the sins of all humanity. And your Son was willing to come that he might bear the sins and the guilt of the world and receive the punishment we deserve, that he might receive it in our place. And that through the blood that he sheds, you would atone and forgive us of our sins, just as you atoned Isaiah in the heavenly realm. Lord, you now ask us, having received this mercy, who will go for you? Lord, it's our prayer that through the power of the Spirit that we, like Isaiah, would say, "Here am I, Lord. Send me to tell others who are broken, hurting, and filled with guilt that there is forgiveness and there is a God who shows mercy." And he is the thrice holy God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Amen.